You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Mach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. All kinds of guests coming up on today's show. Lisa Hale is the bureau chief and reporter for WGBW and WISS. She was in Ripon last evening, yesterday also, and for the Kamala Harris, Liz Cheney. Yes, you heard that right. Kamala Harris, sorry. Liz Cheney joint event.
Sorry, I found some snowballs in hell that I was trying to, I forgot to bring to the show. They melted.
So we're going to talk to Lisa coming up at 10:20 to get some of her reactions about the crowd and who was there and what was the message. Deborah Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters Wisconsin joining us. At 10:33, we've had a lot of folks ask about this new constitutional amendment that will be on the November 5th ballot. Seems like this happens now every time we go to vote. What is this constitutional amendment? What would it do? What does it mean? Deborah Cronmiller will be here from the League of Women Voters Wisconsin to explain the referendum that we're going to, or the constitutional amendment, rather, that we're going to be seeing on November 5th. Dan Schaefer, his new time for the recombobulation area at 11 o'clock right after the news. And we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing today from the world of politics. Want to remind everybody that we got football tomorrow, Purdue at Wisconsin. The game starts at 9 a.m. or rather our broadcast starts at 9. You can listen to the game on WLAK 107.5 and 1260 a.m. in Amory.
Oh, now you want it? Amory. It's only been a minute.
I know, and WRJN 99.9 FM, 1400 AM in Racine, 98.1 FM in Kenosha. The game tomorrow, Purdue at Wisconsin. The broadcast starts at 9 AM. It is Friday morning. We wanted to start out with something, I don't know, positive.
I'll bet you some people don't think it is.
It's kind of interesting. Yeah. Reporting this morning, U.S. job growth surged in September, blowing past expectations. This from CNN. Employers adding an estimated 254,000 jobs in September. That is according to data released today by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Much higher than in August. It smashed economists, words are hard.
Yeah.
Expectations. They expected 140,000 jobs,
yep.
Not 254,000 jobs.
That's 100%+ of job.
That's a lot of job.
That's a lot of job, folk.
Robust service sector hiring, especially across healthcare and leisure and hospitality, drove the job gains last month. Service industries accounted for 202,000 of the monthly gains.
I mean, 250,000 jobs, Jane, the Dow is up by 100 points today. I have over 42,000. What else is there? Inflation's at 2.5%. Cutting interest rate, they're probably going to cut more. I mean, it's almost like
the economy is
doing, what's that word I'm looking for?
Doom.
Great. Absolutely great.
It seems like things are okay.
Things don't just seem like they're okay. They seem mighty peachy keen. Oh, hold on. I'm looking at the stock price of the Trump Media and Technology.
Oh, how is Donald Trump's company doing on the market?
Well, as we all remember, its top price this year when it opened up was a great let's see here.
62, wasn't it in the 60s?
61.96 was a Right now, it's sitting at $16.17, and one of their co-founders, I guess, sold a couple $100 million worth of shares the past week and a half.
That always encourages a lot of confidence.
If your economy is that one stock, yes, you're right. The economy is terrible right now, but job growth, job additions, stock market looks wonderful, interest rates are coming down, inflation's coming down. I got to say the economy's pretty good. And if you say it's not, you're wrong.
Well, just as a little reminder, folks, Donald Trump had some thoughts before Joe Biden was elected about what would happen.
Oh, yeah.
If America did not elect Donald Trump. Gavin, let's play clip number two, please, from the former president.
But if Biden gets in, the market will crash.
The market will crash. He said, Donald Trump said that in 2020.
Let me repeat to you,
like,
folks.
Like the Great Depression of 1929.
Oh, yes, yes. When we lost 75 points.
Yeah.
Let me repeat. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is at 42,111. That is up 100 points just today. I looked at the year to date. It's gone up. In the past year, it's gone up over 6,000 points. Actually, 4,396 in the past 6 months, 3,500 of that alone. The economy looks great. And I know I think about this now more than almost anything else when it comes to the economy, because people will say, well, Trump, people say, I think Trump has a good idea on the economy. He has no idea on the economy.
Well, and there are a whole bunch of economists. I believe that there are over 100 economists who have said that should Donald Trump get reelected and institute all these tariffs that he's talking about,
yeah,
and giving more money to the wealthy, of course, they need more tax cuts. It's gonna damage our economy and send us probably into a recession.
Oh, and the other thing, too, I wanted to discuss as well is the fact that in the past couple of years, we have paid on $1 trillion in the deficit. Not the U.S. national debt, the deficit. It was at $2.7 trillion, paid down to $1.7 trillion. So that it almost seems like, and I hate having to do this because it makes me seem like I'm a dirty, disgusting communist, Marxist, feminist, and a caravan liberal. Far left. But doesn't it seem like, you know, once Bill Clinton and Barack Obama and Joe Biden, the economy becomes robust, jobs are added, the deficit's paid down, and sometimes there's even a surplus. And then when, say, a George W. Bush or a Donald Trump traipse in the office, they go and just ruin everything.
I mean, blow up the economy.
So yeah, I think if you hear someone saying, "Oh, the economy's terrible," know this: there is no indicator right now that says the economy is terrible.
And prices are starting to come down.
And price-
finally, not enough. And I think Kamala Harris has addressed this, and she's talked about what she wants to do about companies who price gouge, but overall, we're in good shape, especially compared to other industrialized nations.
Absolutely. We had, I believe Andrew from Maine posted it. Like, we're half the inflation rate of some of the European countries.
Oh, yeah.
And when we talk about inflated prices, yes, we can talk about that. Companies like Target, Walgreens, and Amazon all touted slashing prices on thousands of products because they knew what they were doing, and they knew they were about to get found out. And that leads to the next story, which was Kroger, who got found out and admitted to price gouging.
Yep.
So
they raised prices because they could.
Exactly. They knew what to pay for, because you're not going to not buy toothpaste and garbage bags and whatnot. It's greed. It's absolute greed. And it's coming from the corporations, not from the government. It's corporations.
Another good stat, and Calvin, we talked about this before we got on the air this morning, about the dock workers' strike.
Yes.
Which started, what, Tuesday?
Yes.
And it's over.
Yep.
Yeah, from what I've been seeing in the reporting and some of the bravado out of the strikers, I was bracing myself for a long and not good for our economy strike.
Oh, yeah. That would have been terrible.
So, yeah, I was kind of almost shocked when I heard that it was over already.
Striking dock workers agreed to go back to work last evening after reaching a tentative agreement with port operators. They accepted a 62% wage increase over 6 years, is my understanding. From the Washington Post, the deal was brokered with the apparent help of senior Biden administration officials, and those came on the third day of the strike, sparing the U.S. economy the worst of this disruptions. This would have been devastating.
Yes,
if this had gone on for any length of time.
For Americans and politically, all the things, it would have been bad. It would have been bad.
And it was interesting as well. I think it was the day after they announced that they were going on strike, photos started surfacing of the head of the dock workers. And guess who he had a picture with at Mar-a-Lago?
Oh, I was going to say Taylor Swift. No. Donald Trump.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I was wrong. Also, really quick, when I was talking about the deficit before, I just want to let everyone know that in 2020, the deficit was $3.13 trillion and is now 1.7.
And while we're talking about the economy, and again, we're kind of celebrating the job numbers that came out. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, we added 254,000 jobs in September. Donald Trump was in Michigan. He was in Saginaw yesterday. Good reminder of what he was like as a boss.
Oh, yeah.
As a business owner. Calvin, let's play clip number one from Donald Trump last night in Michigan.
I used to hate to pay overtime. When I was in the private sector, as they say, oh, I don't want overtime. You know, I shouldn't tell you this. I'd go out and get other people and let them work regular time. It's terrible. I'd say, no, get me 10 other guys. I don't want to have time and a half. I don't want to have.
You're talking to a bunch of working people.
Yeah.
I'm sure that that just delights them.
And I've heard pundits discuss that when he talks about this, he will lose the crowds. Like, they'll be like, it will not be like a, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I watched the video. They were not celebrating this.
No.
They're not clapping for this.
And for you hardworking people listening to the show who disagree with us, who think Donald Trump is the bee's knees, how do you square that then? Those words coming from his mouth. He doesn't want to pay people for their work. He will do everything in his power to not pay people for it. He's got a history of not paying people, period.
Oh, yeah.
But this whole notion of like, oh, they've done enough work. Go find me 10 more people. What are you talking about?
Calvin?
Well, yeah. And it's just, that's really frustrating to hear, because I know even like a lot of middle class families get by on overtime. My dad, my whole life, worked 50 hours a week. Those 10 hours of time and a half every week really make a big difference.
Absolutely. It's huge.
Yep. Absolutely.
It's huge. Just keep that in mind. We're what, 32 days away from going to the polls? 32 days. All right. When we return, we're going to get a little recap of the Harris-Cheney. Still can't believe I'm saying that next, those names next to each other. The Harris-Cheney appearance in Ripon, Wisconsin last night. Lisa Hale will be here. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast and global Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mach, and Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. Number is the same, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Hey, just wanted to give a shout out to Kim in Racine. Kim picked up the grand prize in Civic Media's Go for the Greener Gold statewide text to win contest. Well done, Kim. Make sure you download the Civic Media app, because we're going to be doing this again. Super easy.
You're like talking to me right now, but I know I can't win.
You cannot win, Greg Bach, but others can win. Go to wherever you get your apps and download the Civic Media app today. Delighted to be joined by Lisa Hale. She is the Bureau Chief and a journalist for our stations in Green Bay, WGBW, and in Oshkosh, WISS. Good morning, Lisa. Thanks so much for joining us. How are you doing?
Good morning, Jane. I'm happy to be here.
Well, you were in Ripon yesterday for the Vice President Kamala Harris, Liz Cheney appearance. And I saw on Twitter a lot of the crowds and the crowd, you know, as they were waiting to get in. What was the crowd size like? I mean, you had a perfectly beautiful day.
It was a gorgeous day. And the crowds, there were, I'd say, several hundred people. I mean, it was Ripon college, so there couldn't be thousands of people there, but there were several hundred people there, you know, jammed in right in front of the podium, and then there were a lot in the back on a hillside, kind of like a festival. You had a hillside of people sitting on the grass, and it was really, really nice. But all the people there were extremely positive. Everybody was just excited and positive, which was good to see.
Absolutely. And I texted this to Todd because Todd did his show from there yesterday leading up to this event. And I texted to him last night when I started seeing crowd pictures. It was so lovely to see a whole bunch of different Americans wearing clothes without shirts that had slurs on them or insults on them, or it was delightfully refreshing.
It was. And everybody was in a very positive mood. I mean, some people would be anti the other side, you know, anti-Republican, anti-Donald Trump, but most of them were just positive for Harris. So that was also very good to see, especially with the bipartisan efforts that they were trying to do with the Republicans doing their nominations and it happening in the birthplace of the Republican Party. Absolutely perfect place for it.
I can just imagine the meeting when they came up with that idea. It's like, oh, let's go to Ripon. This will blow their minds.
I imagine, you know, we're going to go to this small city in the heart of Wisconsin where the Republican Party was born, and we're just going to make waves.
You managed to talk to a number of people, Lisa, while you were there last night. Kevin, let's play this first clip from TJ Hobbs, please.
I'm here to support the Harris campaign, not because it's the perfect campaign or the perfect candidate, but because I'm sick of our citizens bleeding out in hospital parking lots when they should have had access to abortion care.
That continues to be a big issue. As much as I think the Republicans would like it to just go away, and J.D. Vance, during the debate with Tim Walz earlier in the week, tried to make himself sound... We just need to get your trust back, ladies. We're gonna work on that. I don't feel that people like TJ are buying that.
I don't think so either. And TJ went on to give me some other comments a little bit later. They sent me a message, which I thought was great. It was like, I was thinking about this and I wanted to send this to you too. They were also very, very concerned about the future of LGBTQ people with everything that's going on with Project 2025 and all the talks about going backwards. So, you know, Hobbs was a very good interview. I was glad to contact them.
And there's a lot more awareness among people about Project 2025, is there not?
There really is. I think people are really, really starting to dig into it.
Believe it or not, TJ is actually a friend of mine, and it makes sense everything they said to you, because very, very concerned for the queer community, as well as for access to healthcare.
Absolutely.
And yes, with Project 2025, I mean, we've been talking about it for a while now, and I feel like it was when Taraji P. Henson
the BET Awards.
Yeah, when she went on there, and then the couple other places on TV talked about it, and it just, the floodgates opened up and people got aware. And now it's everywhere and they're trying to distance themselves.
Lisa Hale is our guest. She is the bureau chief for WGBW in Green Bay, WISS in Oshkosh. She was in Ripon last night as Kamala Harris appeared to get the endorsement of Liz Cheney. Let's hear that clip from Liz Cheney. That's clip 3, please, Calvin.
I tell you, I have never voted for a Democrat. But this year, I am proudly casting my vote for Vice President Kamala Harris.
And from what I saw, Lisa, there were lots of chants of thank you, Liz, mm-hmm. Thank you, Liz, thank you, Liz.
Multiple times throughout the day, throughout her speech, you know, we'd have thank you, Liz. And then when Harris took the stage, we even had thank you, Liz. So it was really
also something that has just come out. There's a bunch of Wisconsin Republicans now who have endorsed Kamala Harris.
Yep.
Absolutely. They wrote a whole letter about the endorsement, and it had Republicans that were former county GOP chiefs. They had former sheriffs. They had just normal, everyday Wisconsinites all supporting the Harris ticket.
You rarely see that happen on the other side. I mean, I don't see a lot of Democrats flocking to the Trump-Vance ticket.
Hey.
Maybe I just, they haven't said it out loud.
RFK Jr., thank you very much.
That's right. Silly me to have forgotten him.
Yeah.
Lisa Hale is the bureau chief for WGBW in Green Bay and on WISS in Oshkosh. Thank you so much for joining us, Lisa. We would love to have you back.
Absolutely, anytime.
Thank you so much. News is coming up next when we return. Deborah Cronmiller will be here from the League of Women Voters Wisconsin. We're going to talk about the newest constitutional amendment that's going to be on the ballot November 5th. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
No time to search the world around, 'cause you knew it all be found when I come around.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Delighted to have our next guest back again, Deborah Cronmiller with the League of Women Voters Wisconsin. Good morning, Deborah. We've had lots of listeners ask about this latest constitutional amendment that is going to be on the ballot when we go into the polls 32 days from now. So what is this latest attempt and what does it mean?
Well, this constitutional question is actually asking voters if they want to change the Constitution by one word. And that word is to remove every citizen and insert only citizens. And this may sound like a minor change, just a little nomenclature glitch or whatever, but it truly at the heart of it is an assault on our voting rights. Every is a guarantee. Only is limiting. And I think every voter should be very aware that limiting the voting rights of any person in our democracy is limiting all of our rights.
And that's just one step. People always think that I'm going to be immune from these changes. It will never affect me. And I think that's erroneous. I think that's a mistake. And we talk so often, Deborah, about there is one political party that just seems hell-bent on making sure as few people have the opportunity to vote as possible.
There does seem to be a trend with these constitutional amendments that we've seen in the last couple of election cycles to be purposeful about suppressing certain voters from being able to vote. We're very worried about this particular change. On its surface, the question that will be on our ballots doesn't seem unreasonable. You know, only a citizen should vote. You know, I think we all think that's true now. That is true now, by the way. But so then you have to dig in a little bit deeper as a voter. Why am I being asked this question? What's the motivation of the legislature? And in this particular case, you know, and Wisconsin, by the way, is one of 8 states that has this type of question on their ballot. So this is not just to solve a problem that's happening in Wisconsin with non-citizens voting, because that is not happening in Wisconsin, nor is it happening in any other state. This is an attempt by legislatures that probably have been gerrymandered into their power situation to try to retain that power. And by limiting the vote of some, they think that they will have a better chance to stay in power. And the sum that they're limiting is not just non-citizens voters, but when you think about who could be impacted by, you know, having to prove you're a citizen. Well, I'll tell you, as a married woman who changed my name, I could be impacted by this. Unless I have the documentation from my county clerk that changed my name from my maiden name to now my married name, I may not be an eligible voter anymore. A student who perhaps has left their important documents at home, they may not be eligible to vote anymore. There's research that has been done, and it suggests that 1 in 10 eligible voters likely do not have the documentation they would need to prove citizenship. So 10% of those who are eligible in our nation right now to vote could become ineligible for no reason other than they don't have a birth certificate, they don't have a passport, they don't have the financial means to request duplicates of those. You know, it's a very negative, slippery slope that I really hope we don't get on, and we don't get on that slope by voting no in November.
So vote no on this latest constitutional amendment. Again, it looks innocent, it looks innocuous, but when you listen to what Deborah is explaining, yes, it is a slippery slope. And what you the provision you mentioned, Deborah, about women, married women who took their husbands' names and maybe didn't go to court to have it legally changed and just started using that married name, that was all part of the SAVE Act that they wanted to ram into the one of the latest things in Congress, and never explained that. You know, it's thank goodness there are people who read complicated documents who can find this stuff and go, this is what this thing will do.
Yeah. And it's a, it's not, it seems to me like it's not a genuine attempt to actually enhance the integrity of our elections, because our elections have the utmost of integrity already. This is about starting a narrative so people are perhaps suspicious of what might happen. Well, I'm here to tell you, in Wisconsin, our 1,851 clerks who we have entrusted with administering our elections for all these years, these are our neighbors, these are our family members. These are folks we inherently trust with the job of election administration. You know, this is basically calling into question or creating a conversation that somehow these folks aren't able or capable or trustworthy to run our elections. And we have to put these additional levels of, you know, checks and balances into the system. Well, I suggest that the additional checks and balances that are being offered here are just additional ways to suppress the vote. And, you know, we saw this in years ago with the adoption of the voter ID law in Wisconsin. It sounded good. It sounded rational that, you know, only the voter should get their ballot. So if you have to show your ID, you know, this is me and here I am and give me my ballot. Okay. You know, on its surface, that sounded good. But what do we know since it's been enacted? We know that people who are not drivers, people do not have state IDs, people who don't have a tribal ID, people who, you know, fill in the blank. There's so many people who don't have one of the 9 accepted forms of valid ID to prove your identity. They've been disenfranchised. And, you know, not even talk about like students on campuses and that they need additional documentation. So now we're creating an us-them situation with regard to who can have the, you know, franchise to vote and who cannot. And, you know, as we've said before, with other constitutional questions, our legislators should not pick their voters. The voters should be picking our legislators.
And in so much of this legislation, this prior legislation too, Deborah, seems to me, it's a solution in search of a problem. This,
especially here in Wisconsin, we have no municipality with an ordinance on their book to allow non-citizen voting in their municipality. So this is I think, an overt attempt to start a conversation that is intended to, you know, create fear, intended to be divisive, so that we're pointing fingers at each other. You know, I'm the one for rights. I'm the one for rights. You know, when in fact, we can see the underlying tenet here, that a very gerrymandered legislature trying to retain its power is creating opportunities to do that by disenfranchising certain voters.
And I want to say to the listener right now, it's important to have these conversations, because in spring when we had those, when we had the amendments come up and they got voted yes, I feel like the conversations that we had for the fall election in August really turned the tide on that, really opened people's eyes that this is going to keep happening and happening. And after August, Robin Voss got on the air and said, we're not going to stop. We're going to keep going. And I'm looking at your website right now, League of Women Voters, Wisconsin, and I see you once again have the toolkit, and that will be on the show notes today. So you can look at the information they provide. And I know so many people in spring of this year who voted yes for those amendments saying, oh, it just seemed like, yeah, of course. Yeah, we want to make sure that there's no outside money. And they had no clue what was being presented to them. So now it's about having the conversation about this language, which is always murky and plans to mislead.
So vote. That would be a big no. Mm-hmm. That would be a big no for the latest efforts by some people to just, again, a solution in search of a problem. This is not a problem. We do not have massive voter fraud in Wisconsin. We have not had massive election fraud in Wisconsin. We spoke to a UW professor yesterday, Deborah, about ballot birth to bed and what happens in the entire process and all of the checks and double checks and triple checks that there are, so that it would be so massively complicated and require so many people to pull off any kind of fraud that would actually affect the outcome. It's outside the realm of possibility.
It absolutely is. We did a webinar earlier this couple weeks ago, and where we had other experts coming to talk about, what is non-citizen voting? How would that happen? And it's pretty clear, and you can find that link to that webinar on our website as well, but it was pretty clear from those experts that this is an impossibility. It's not as though you can go into myvote.wi.gov and just anyone willy-nilly can get a ballot. When you check that you are a citizen, and if you are not, that's a felony. And I'm here to tell you, most of the folks that we have interacted with, you know, young DACA people, you know, folks who are here on work visas, you know, they're trying to support their families. The least thing they want to do is to bring attention to themselves, especially a criminal attention, to be immediately deported. That's counterproductive to why they're here in the United States to begin with.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Deborah Cronmiller is our guest with the League of Women Voters, Wisconsin. Greg, do you have a question?
Well, no, one of the things I wanted to say really quick is, as someone who worked in local government, and as we're seeing in Wausau, clerk's offices do not take criticism of the jobs they do well. And not because they're thin-skinned, because they do a great job. So when you try to question what they do, they're unhappy with that because they work so hard. Just in Racine alone, which is not the biggest city in this state, I watched the process happen from start to finish. It is monumental, and it takes precision, attention, and someone who cares about the process.
Well, and as we were talking about yesterday, Deborah, it's interesting that all of these people who are trying to prove there's election fraud by committing election fraud, like Tina Peters in Colorado, whoopsie girl, you're in trouble. They're now felons. I mean, Tina Peters just got sentenced to 9 years in prison for essentially creating a fake ID for this guy to go in and photograph the. It's just astonishing. It's astonishing. That's where the shenanigans are going on. Not for people who are trying to legally cast their ballots.
Yeah. Correct.
We did have a question yesterday, Deborah, about absentee ballots.
Yes.
So if I'm in a household with four people, we're all of voting age, all of us can mail our absentee ballots. Can one person in the household take all the ballots and put them in a drop box?
Under the Tigan decision that we had, and part of that was overturned, which allowed the drop boxes to be used again, but there was no overturning by this court, this currently sitting Supreme Court, about it's the responsibility of the voter to return their own ballot. So I would suggest if you have four adults in a household, all of whom have filled out an absentee ballot, each one should take their own ballot to a drop box or put their own ballot in the mailbox.
Wonderful. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah. The exception to that might be if one of those individuals were a disabled person, they can choose an assistant of their choice, and that maybe one of the other people in the household could take their ballot to the mailbox.
But just to be on the safe side, mail your own, drop your own in a drop box, just to clear any potential naughtiness. All right, we're going to continue our conversation with Deborah Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Kelby coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us. You can call. You can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 11 o'clock news, Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. At 11:30, we're going to start a new segment called Grifter of the Week. Oh, it's going to be good. And we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, the thing is from the world of politics. Right now, though, we're continuing our conversation with Deborah Cronmiller with the League of Women Voters, Wisconsin, talking about the constitutional amendment you will see on your ballot November 5th. Vote no. I'm just going to make it easy. But no.
Yeah.
And Greg had a question for you.
So, Deborah, I requested a ballot via myvote.wi.gov, and I have not seen it come through yet. Can I track where that ballot's at in the mailing process? And second question, a follow-up really quick. If I don't get it in time for some reason, can I still go to my polling place and vote that day? Or will it be like, you got a ballot sent to you. It's that or nothing.
Yes. Greg, you can track your ballot on My Vote. Once you make that absentee request, a kind of a timeline is created. So once the clerk sends your ballot, they tell the WisVote system, which is the backside of My Vote, that they have sent the ballot. And that'll give you a date stamp on when that ballot was mailed out of the clerk's office. When the clerk receives your ballot back, they'll make another update then to that timeline that they've received your ballot. Then on election day, your ballot will be opened and counted. And in a day or two, because the clerks are a little busy on election day, they'll report to the system that your ballot has been counted. Okay. So you'll be able to track that timeline. I'm kind of surprised, Greg, unless you requested your ballot after the absentee voting started, that you don't have it.
Yeah.
September 17th or something like that is when most of the clerks dropped the absentee ballots that had been requested into the mail system. But check My Vote. It will tell you what day it was mailed.
Okay, great.
Another thing that I saw, Deborah, that really grabbed me yesterday when I was on Twitter, a guy that I follow said that this super PAC ad showed up on his phone and told him that he could order his absentee ballot from this super PAC site. That sounds like a really bad thing to me.
That does sound very shammy.
Yeah. that sounds kind of scammy, doesn't it? You don't want to go to, you know, WeLoveAmericaSuperPAC.org and say, yes, I'm going to trust you guys to give me my absentee ballot. Don't do that.
And even, I don't want to give it credibility. Don't do that. That's the best advice. Go to the trusted source for applying for an absentee ballot, which in Wisconsin is myvote.wi.gov. And that will link you straight up. What MyVote does is connects you to your clerk. So your clerk knows you want an absentee ballot. Clerk will send you that absentee ballot. Then you need to fill it out, have a witness, you know, attest that you have filled out your own ballot, sign that, sign as the voter, get it into the mail, or bring it to an early voting site to give it to your clerk, bring it to your clerk's office. But the ballot's got to make that full cycle. It's got to go from the clerk back to the clerk in order to be counted on election day.
It just reminded me of people who get their news from Facebook because their friend's neighbor's cousin's babysitter saw this in the news. That to me is going to a super PAC website and saying, oh yes, I want to request my absentee ballot from you. Don't do that. The other thing I would say, and the Harris campaign, just the, kind of on a side note here, Deborah, I would suggest if you want to donate to anyone's campaign that you do it directly to the campaign instead of all these super PACs, because I don't know.
And Jane, as you know, as a wonderful member of the League of Women Voters for all these many years now, we're completely nonpartisan. And I'm in what's called a significant role with the League. So I cannot make political contributions at all. I cannot attend political events, and neither can many other League leaders. So it's good advice to folks to, you know, make sure your money is going where you want it to go. Yes. In the same way we were just talking about, if you want something from your clerk, go to your clerk for it.
Yeah.
Don't go to some other third party site that maybe can roundabout connect you. Go direct.
Yeah, go direct. Absolutely. It's myvote.wi.gov. All kinds of information. You want to make sure that you haven't been purged from the voter rolls. This is something I check every couple of months, just because I'm paranoid that way, but I think it's a good idea just to double check. MyVote.wi.gov. Deborah Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters, Wisconsin. A big no on the latest effort to make changes to Wisconsin's Constitution. Vote no. Thank you so much for your clarification, Deborah, and for all that you do on behalf of Wisconsin voters.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Stay close. News is coming up next. And then when we return, we'll do a little recombobulating with Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast and global Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.